And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and in chapter 4, which you read. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we've opened thy love letter, thy word, and we look to you to help us, God, your word for our little head and heart, that we might understand your wonderful person, your awesome presence, and appreciate, God, just being alive and our God. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, as we've been going through it, and we have gone through it with the understanding that God, the Gospel of John, was written that we might understand that God put on a human house. John 1:1, the Word, 1:1, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among us. God did something wonderful. Why did he do that? Because in the Israel's unbelief and all of that, at this juncture in history, God is showing his wonderful grace. And God is going to go and show the unbelieving world, in a world that darkens and gets darker, in such a world, God is going to show a little light. And that's us guys, believers. God's going to show them how. Because God made us humans in his image and likeness, like the Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph. But God made us to know him in a most wonderful way, in a very personal way. How personal? It can't get more personal. He created us as an image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26, 27. He created us in his image and likeness to be able to find his home in the heart of a human being, that a human being would be able to comprehend, to understand, to enjoy such a person as God. Also, in a very personal way, in their heart, to know him. Now that's what it's about, simply. Christ died. He died on the cross to save us, to make possible all that was impossible. And in making all of that possible, God's able to go and save to the uttermost in a most wonderful way whosoever would believe, that God would find fulfillment in his, as we shared last time. Fulfillment of his word. Why did he die on the cross? To find, perfect, to complete, to finish, to find his home in the human heart in a most wonderful way. Very personal. Awesome. You would never know it in our religious world, but that's God's plan and that's God's purpose. It's missing more than it should be. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, as we shared together, all of it, we looked at the word. It's mentioned again and again and again and again. Chapter 3, verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, a unique personal relationship. The word dwell, to abide, to remain, to find a dwelling, to be dwelling, to find to live there. And it's the word abide. The tree, the branch, John 15, the branch abides in the tree, in the vine. And the branch just enjoys a unique relationship that doesn't belong to the branch. It belongs to the tree. But the branch is smart enough to stay attached and be attached so that the flow, the life flow, can flow into the through the branch. And as the sap, the life flows through, the leaves and the green and the fruit are all going to show itself, are showing itself in a most beautiful way as it shows itself. But it isn't in the branch. It's in the vine, the tree. That's where it is. It isn't in the human heart, because no flesh shall glory in his presence. Where is it? It's in God. God made us to be able to enjoy God and for God to enjoy us. Hang on to that. Now, just to see it again and do it. It's so simple. And it's so profound. And in fact, it can't really be true. That's what the Jewish people said. There's no such thing as that relationship. And the world crucified him along with the Jews. Crucified him. It's a stupid thing. They're God. If there is a God, like Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? Where is the God? We got all kinds of gods, but no God. Now, having said that, chapter 4, we said the word dwell, sliding over if I can, in the light of where we were, chapter 4, and in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, completed, finished, brought to an end. It's fulfilled its purpose to save us. Dwelleth in us, abideth in us, and his love is perfected, completed in us, in a most wonderful way. Verse 13, know, hereby know we that we dwell in him, abide in him, and he in us, back and forth, back and forth. There's no way to miss it, back and forth. He's in us, we're in him. You can't get simpler. Only two little letters, three little letters, in him, three letters, in him, he in us. Little, you don't have to be a linguist. You don't have to hit no bad to get it. You don't have to get it. God just said it. And therefore, hereby, like verse 13, we read, hereby know we that dwelleth in him, that we dwelleth in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And that's the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, is to make all the benefits that Christ made possible in his death, burial, and resurrection, to make all of those benefits workable, practical, profitable in our little low lives. So therefore, verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we are bearing witness, like we shared chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The whole point was God in Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, John 1:12, you receive God. G-O-D. That's what you did. That's a big thing. They didn't know and believe that. Jews wouldn't believe that. No one would. It's a silly thing. God can't even see you, God. We're in your presence, but we can't see you. We can't. Now, and so therefore, verse 14, as we have seen and do testify, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So we know what it's all about. It's God finding a home in our heart. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So the relationship, the unique relationship is there. And the other believers, like us, here's the believers, and then they're looking at other believers. What do we know about other believers? They are believers because they've received the Lord Jesus Christ, and they understand, like we do, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we received him, and thus God, in you, the hope of glory. So we've received God. And every believer that is a true believer that's received Jesus Christ, God in them, God in Christ in them, everyone that's done that, they are on the same page we are. Same love, same Lord, same life. We're on the same page. And we love, we have to love. God is loving you. God is loving them. The same God that's loving, and where did he put us? In his body, in Christ Jesus. And we're to what? We're to love God, what God loves. God loves, what is God loving? Not everybody. It doesn't mean loving everybody. I understand that. Love your enemies. I got that. But that isn't what it's talking about. This unique, the oneness isn't, which is the what? God. God in this, God in us, God in this side, God in that side, the same God. So when us public, we look at it, we see you, we see God. We look in this side, and we see God. We don't see God over here, but we're churchgoers. But there's no God. No, it isn't for that. They have to be saved, wonderfully, wonderfully saved. And thus they'd have God. And that's what we're loving. We're loving people that have God in their heart. They're saved, and they're letting God exercise his wonderful presence. And God exercising in your heart and God exercising in my heart is the same God in a most wonderful way. That's what makes us one. What makes us one? God makes us one. Now hang on. And therefore, in verse 16, we have known, perfect tense, with the result we're still knowing. The word know there means the different words for know. This is the word first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You're learning. You're knowing. Each year goes by, you know a little more as you go to just being alive. And you're knowing and you're knowing and you're knowing. That's the word. And they are knowing, they are knowing. We are knowing, and I know we have known, and we are knowing. We are knowing. And not only are we knowing, but we are believing. Same word, perfect. We believed, we have the benefits of believing, and we remain believing. We're knowing and believing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, knowing what? The love that God hath to us. Where do we know the love God has to us? That's in his word, his wonderful, wonderful word to help us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know the love of God. That's why we know it. We don't have to feel it. We don't have to have anything. We just know. God said it. God proved it. God did it. He died on the cross. So we aren't looking for some feeling or something. God, help me know for sure. No. Remember, we have communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. I died for you. You want to know about love? I, the most holy God, bore your sin in my body on Calvary's cross. So don't talk about love. Don't talk about love. I love you. You ought to know it, and you better believe it. Now, hang on. So therefore, God is love. Verse 16, God is love. God the Father presently is love. And he that dwelleth, there's the word dwell, to abide, always repeatedly, this relationship. And he that dwelleth in the love, dwelling in the love, He that's dwelling in the love remains, stays, abides. The one who is abiding is continuing in the love. The one who's abiding is continuing in the love. And therefore, in love, where? In God, dwelleth, present tense. God in him, God. The believing heart in God, and God in the believing heart. You can't get it, say it simpler and easier. I was going to say, use your lunch, but I don't want to do that. Your lunch is in the plate, and you eat the lunch, and the lunch is now where? In the esophagus, down your stomach. So the lunch was on the plate, and the lunch is now in your heart. That's a lousy illustration, but at least it'll keep you from being hungry, because I just told you to just let it digest. Now, in the process, and God is, we love him, where God dwelleth in him, and the one confesses that Jesus Christ, the one that confesses, God dwelleth in the other fellow. And if God's loving them, and God, the same God that loves me, how can I love God without loving him? How can I love God without loving what God loves? How do you do that? You don't do that. That's the problem. We don't have a connection properly. So therefore, the one who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God is abiding in God and God in him. And if you're abiding in God, then you must be abiding in love. Where are you finding your home? In the love of God. Just a little word preposition in. Just think of coming into the room. Where are you? You're in the room. You're in the room. You're in God. You're in love. You're in it. That's what you are. You're in it. And if I'm in it, then you have to be in it. If God's in you, you have to be in it. There's no way around it. You may, whatever you do, but you have to be in it if you're saved, for real, and abiding and enjoying a branch. If the branch isn't connected to the tree, the branch is dead. John 15:6. The branch is dead. The branch has no leaves and no fruit. The branches have to be alive to enjoy life. How's that? How can you enjoy being a oneness if you weren't alive? The cemetery is down the different streets. There's a cemetery. And a cemetery's there. Do you know all of those stones are there? Yeah, you think of the great cemetery at the Veterans Cemetery, whatever, 18,000, whatever it is. Wow. But you know they don't enjoy each other. They're dead. They're dead. No. You have to be alive to enjoy life. Therefore, in the process, and you remember, we shared together when we did these things, there in the Old Testament, here's the Ten Commandments, etc. And we reminded ourselves, in the case, if you haven't read it, we'll do it again just for the fun of it. Do it. Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 6, because you're going to sum up, how do I live? How do I obey the Ten Commandments? It's required, but you can't. No, you can't. But God didn't ask you to fulfill them. God asked you to do what he said to do in the light of the Ten Commandments. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, and here's the great Shema. Chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord one is three is one. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What are we going to do? We're going to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. That's how you honor the Lord. God so loved the world, and he died. So the Old Testament, they had to do what? The same thing. They just wanted to do it by works and not by faith, and thank God that he would love them. They wanted to work so that God would love them. We're going to do the works so you love us, God. We earn it. We did what we did. So God, pay attention to it. Like, think of Sunday school, goodness, good, the good of God. Now, while you're here this far, chapter 11, and you'll see it all over the place, but just so you see it, it says it over and over again. Chapter 11, verse 22, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, A, B, C, are not all 600 of them, no, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, that's what you're to do. By these, that's the great commandment. So God, what did you ask us to do? To know you. Abraham wonderfully knew you. Noah, Abraham, etc. They walked with you, God. They didn't have the law. They had the life. Abraham had the life. Noah, Enoch even ahead of him. Here they are lined up. They had life. They didn't have the law. They had life. And life fulfills the law. Because it's a relationship that God has given to us to enjoy and exercise. And you know that if you turned in Matthew in chapter 22, 36 to 40, what are you going to read? By this, what must I do, said the man. Well, turn it so I don't just read it, say it to you. Matthew 22. And picking up, if I may. Matthew 22 and in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Remember this we want to know, how do I keep, which commandment do I keep? Thou shalt murder, thou shalt not, whatever. Which commandment? Which ordinance? Verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment and the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, 20, chapter 20 through 12, what do you got? Thou shalt love, put no other gods before me, etc., etc., etc. How am I going to say all those? I don't know the verses. No, I don't. How are you going to do it? Love me with all your heart, and you'll fulfill them. That's what I want. Honor me. That's right. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I got all that. Love me with all your heart. Now, and therefore, second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang, A-L-L, all the law and the prophets. You fulfill the law. How did you fulfill the law? You looked to me and trusted me and allowed me to be your God and your Savior. And you fulfilled it all. It's my law. It's my word. I'm the Creator. I did it. When you honor me, you'll let me be your Creator, your Savior, your all in all, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so we need to be loving what God is loving, and tie on our way back over to John chapter 15. We can. And John in chapter 15. Just to remind you, and I appreciate your patience. I know you know all this stuff. And I'm just doing it again for you. Because It is such a wonderful thing. But you have to understand it enough that it's in your head and heart and thinking to appropriate it. I can't appropriate something I don't understand. Let me put calculus out here. If I don't understand it, I can't appropriate it. I have to understand it. It's there. Calculus is there. But I have to understand it. God is there. And you have to understand. You don't understand it. No more than calculus. We're stupid about the whole thing. And the world system chooses to be stupid and in darkness. That's what they do. They don't want to know. Now, keep going. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. The branch, just the branch again, simple, you can't miss it. The branch laying on the ground is powerless. It can't do any, it can't produce one leaf. It can't produce any fruit. It's dead. The branch has to be connected, dwelling, abiding, dwelling, living, residing. The branch has to be connected. So simple. Without me, God said, you aren't going to have anything that I have given and made possible for you by way of my death, burial, and resurrection. Without me, you can do nothing. So I need to see, my heart needs to see God, understand and recognize his wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, just before we pick up some more, don't forget now, while you're here in John, though, I get sidetracked. I'm coming back over to John. But go with me, please, to Romans 8, just for a moment. And in Romans chapter 8, remind yourself, if you would, in Romans in chapter 8, picking up, if I can, and remind yourself, lest we forget. Now, God, in your wonderful grace, now God loves us. That's what we just read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. God loves us. That's what we know. Okay, how do we know God loves us? He died. That's right. Now, what do we know about the love that God showed us when he died on the cross? Chapter 8 of Romans, if we can, in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. 8:34 Romans. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who? You can't ask. God died and rose again for us. Verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Danger? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We aren't here to be lords. We're here to represent the Lamb of God that died on Calvary's cross. And we are thus as sheep. We're sheep to show what? To show his wonderful saving grace in his wonderful way. We aren't walking around with big power things and knocking everybody over. No, you're just simply there. And you aren't trying to take over the bar room. You aren't trying to take over something. You're just showing God's wonderful grace to save you out from the system. Out from the system. That's what saves you, out of the system. You're in the world, but not of it. He saves you out of it. So we aren't trying to go and fix everything. When you can, you do. You fix things that you can. You vote and vote rightly and do all the things we should. But we aren't looking for that. We're looking just to be the light in the darkness. And therefore, we have killed the sheep. And in the process, all the while we've been, you know all these things. Verse 38, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, above, beyond, out of the reach, conquerors, overcomers, having the victory through him that, two little words, loved us. That's why. The love of God. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? Nobody. Verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Where is that which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Nothing can separate us. Nothing. That's why God is trying to tell you, we ought to, how are you going to evidence to the world? The only evidence I'm going to show, the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days, 3 nights. I have an empty cross, an empty tomb, and the only thing I'm going to show is that I'm going to take your little old heart, and I am going to find my home in it, and I am going to show what I died on the cross for, to save little old you as you go up and down. I saved you, and that's why you're here, to bear my witness, to be my witnesses. I'm going to show myself. That's the only, in flesh. Flesh. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God took the Word into our flesh and shows it. That's all he's going to show. That God saves such as you and you and me. He saves us. That's what he's doing. Now, hang on. So therefore, over to Matthew, if I can. Matthew chapter 11. And do you recall? And in chapter 11, God tells us, we have a relationship we have to exercise. So, Matthew chapter 11, going if I can to verse 28, as you'd know, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, and you know, yoke, big yoke, ox yoke, with the two big hoops, goes over the two oxen, and they're bound together. They're bound together with that yoke. They're bound together to go. Here's our Lord under the yoke. He's in the will of God, for the will of God, to save such as us. And God says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Get under the other side of this hoop. Get onto the other side so that as I go forward, you go with me. I know all about the will of God and the way of God to outwork the word of God. You don't. But learn of me. As you're yoked, you can't get out because the yoke's around your neck. And to pull and try to get away, it's very uncomfortable. So you learn to what? Abide, dwell, rest. Relax in the will of God and learn. In chapter 11, verse 28, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn. The word learn, to say it's a wonderful word, to bring into your personal experience. Bring into your personal experience who I am. Learn of me. Enjoy my person in your life. Learn of me. someone. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, verse 30. So you're looking to God to do a wonderful thing in your heart in a wonderful way. So God, here we are looking in your wonderful way in what you do. Now, our Lord, set the example for us. Set the example for us. You said in John 15:5, without you, we can do nothing. So now, God, now, over if I can, over to John, Gospel of John, if you're holding your finger there, if it's still there, Gospel of John, over to chapter 5. And you'd recall, John in chapter 5, and picking up, please, oh, and picking it up, you'll catch it, if I can, verse 18. I'm even going to read verse 17 for context. Chapter 5, John 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. Now they knew what that meant. You're God. You're the Son of God. Think of Sunday school. The Son of God. Yeah. You're God then. Then Jesus, they don't want that. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Sliding over again, verse 30. I can of, chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness, verse 31, of myself, my witness is not true. It isn't here about us being human. It's about God being God. It's about God being God. It isn't about us being somebody. No. It's about God being God. We're just flesh and blood, vessels of dust. God wants to be who he is, to show his wonderful person in your life, in our little lives. So now, having said that, I can of my own self do nothing. Now that's the same. Without me, you can do nothing, John 15:5. And understand, without me, I make possible the relationship that you need to have. I have made possible the unique relationship to the Father, that you would be a child of God, a son of God, to be able to enjoy a unique relationship to God, to honor him. And God would honor himself in your life. God. It's God's love. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. It's God's everything. All that I have and that you have, if you're saved, all that we have is life. Life is nothing less than God. God, period. It isn't about us. It's about God giving you the privilege to know him. Now, slide over, if you would, please, in the light of that, over to John chapter 17, the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And if I may, and in chapter 17, picking up, if I can. Now, you know, verse 18, God, as thou hast sent me into the world, this is his prayer in the upper room before he goes out to be crucified, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I'm going to send them the same as me. They're going to go, just like I did. They're going to represent me in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, it isn't about them It isn't about them. It's about you. It's about the Father showing the Son in the believing heart. So therefore, chapter 17, and you know, and while you're here, just so, I know you know it, but just pick it up right in front of you. John 17:3. I'm going to read verse 2. 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. What is life eternal? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, sliding over, chapter 17. I'm picking up, please, in verse 21. As my Father sent me, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. What for? Why is this unique relationship, I in you, and God in the heart, and the heart found in God, in the middle of God's love? What are you showing? God so loved the world that he died. That's what he did. He died. And you're a witness to what? He died. He died. He died on the cross. That's right. You're his witness. You're saved if you've received Christ as your Savior. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, that the world may know the oneness. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? Purpose, that they may be one, even as we, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we are one. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be one, made perfect, complete, in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them, and hath loved me. So why so are we love? We love what God loves. We love what God loves. Looking for what God is doing in a most wonderful way. And we're going to go forward, trusting God. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Over, if you would, please. Over to pick up that thought, if you may. Over in God's wonderful glory, picking that up. Chapter 1 of Ephesians. God's awesome glory, this oneness. And in Ephesians and in chapter 1, you recall, if I may get there, in chapter 1, Ephesians, and you will note, chapter 1, verse 22, this relationship, if I can get there, and chapter 1, and in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, we have a wonderful relationship to you, and that relationship is to be shown in a wonderful way. Now God, we're to be one. How are to be one? We're to enjoy your wonderful person. How much of your person? Have you got time for me, God? You got time? There's 1,000,000,000 things in the universe, the angels, the bad guys, the good guys, and all of that's there. Now, God, have you got time for me? I'm going to say something, God, you're going to hit me. So now, having said that, so God, what am I to know? You, God finds his home in your heart. Hebrews chapter 3. And you find your home in God's heart. So, where do I live? I live in the middle of you, God. When you read John 17:3, what is eternal life? To know you and honor you. It's very simple. Yep. God, thank you. Thank you very much. So therefore, if you would, and in chapter, remember now when God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fullness, and go right next door, a couple of doors down, to Colossians. In God's wonderful, wonderful way, to walk in God's wonderful, wonderful fullness, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, and in Colossians in chapter 2, remember, in his fullness, we may, and you would notice, I'm going to go to 119. I want you to keep in mind, dwelling, abiding. It's over and over and over and over in all kinds of ways. Here it is, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ is totally God in the flesh. Now, got that part. When you received him as your Savior, that's the whole argument. You received God. So therefore, chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth, there's your little word, abide. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God in all of his wonderfulness. Verse 10, and you are complete, the same as the word fullness in verse 9, as you know. And you are complete in him who is the head over all principality and powers. You are able to have a unique, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God is going to be who he is. I need to recognize him. I recognize. What am I going to do now? Recognize. And what am I going to do? I'm going to recognize God's wonderful grace, and I'm going to go and receive him as my Savior. I recognize who he's talking to. He's talking to me, whosoever. I'm a whosoever. He's talking to me, and I'm going to go and receive him, and I'm going to receive him. Then what are you going to do? I'm going to reckon. I'm going to calculate that what he said, he means what he said and says what he means. So I'm going to calculate that, reckoning. And since I'm going to reckon it, I'm going to rest. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to rest down on what he said. He isn't changing it. He rests down on what he said and why he said it. So therefore, Hebrews 4, I'm going to rest because God has a wonderful plan for my life and your life. Every human being, the Lamb of God died before the foundation of the world, and God has a wonderful plan for every single human being. They're born physically to be able to be born spiritually. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, in all of your fullness, so when Christ, God in you, is all of God, and you have all of God. I say that slowly, because it's true, but it's too big. You have all of God in your heart, and God has all of you, does he? All of you. That's how you get saved. I get saved. You can't get saved unless he saves you from the top of your head to your big toe. He saves you. He died for you, period. Thank you. Thank you, that's a fact. And so I'm resting in that fact in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so God is going to go and do what he does. And the only way that he can do it is to show, back over to 1 John. And we repeat it, I repeat. But hope you got a little bit to understand. You want it because it is so simple and practical and works. It's just common sense. If I'm just created and God made us for himself, and he did, and that's obvious, I certainly didn't come from a chemical reaction. And there's no way I'm an overgrown leaf. And there's no way I'm an orangutan. Understand? I'm no way. There's no way. There's no way. I appreciate all those things. God, Declaration of Independence, 250th anniversary, created by our Creator to know Him. Now, so therefore, to know Him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's, so God, my life. Where is God? We are sheep. We are sheep as we shared. But we're led to the slaughter. The world can persecute and do what they want. But they can't take away the light. All the darkness in the world can't touch the light. The only light, the only one that can touch the light is if we ourselves lose our fellowship with God. But then we lose the light. So now, God, so we are sheep. We are vessels of just dust. That's all we are. But dust is filled with deity in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we are here to show His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful love in a most wonderful way. That's why John, 1 John 4, we start to say, 1 John 4, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. That's the only evidence I'm going to give, is your little old life. Now, and years ago in a little village where the gospel had been given and many had come to know the Lord as their Savior, and there was a man named Jake. And Jake just couldn't see it. So one of his friends finally got enough courage to say, Jake, listen, I know. Doesn't it soften your heart to know that God loves you? Doesn't that soften your heart to know that God loves you? And Jake scoffed. Do you aim to tell me that the Lord loves me when He ain't never known me? He ain't never known me. The answer, Jake, it's a heap easier for the Lord to love you without knowing you than if He had known you like I do. Yeah. God, in your wonderful grace, saves such as us. And we could give all kinds of things you want, say deep things of God. They're no good if you don't practice a simple relationship that is practical in our little old bodies, in the world we live in, to just learn to enjoy and practice the wonderful presence of God. Practice it. I'm in the middle of God, and so are you. I'm in the middle of God. God's in the middle of me. Because I'm saved. That's why. And I can say that. You can say that. You need to say that. If it's true. God, thank you for being a wonderful Savior in a most wonderful way. Thank you for loving me, knowing from my head to my toe, from the day I entered up from my mother's womb till the day I die, you took every single word, thought, and deed of my old nature and crucified it so that I could be saved. Thank you very much. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts. Help us understand. God, we just sort of try to say it again to ourselves. It's beyond the words, God. The reality is actually beyond words. It's too awesome and amazing that in simple, that this these simple bodies can enjoy your matchless person. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.